Last week, as we were looking at escaping sin, one of the things that we looked at and one of the things we talked about in class this morning was the idea of having a knowledge of the Scriptures and that being one of the things that will help us to have a way to escape from temptation and not sin. And so to follow along a similar line of thought, we want to talk this week about ignorance. The ignorance of God's Word and of other things regarding how God wants us to live our lives is at epidemic proportions in our society today. We live in a society that, like those in Romans 1, has gotten to the point where they refuse to retain God in their knowledge. And unfortunately, sometimes even within the church, even among Christians, we don't have the level of knowledge about God, about His will for us, about His Word, about other aspects of our lives that He wants us to know about that we should. We many times are ignorant. The lesson this morning is actually entitled, "I Would Not Have You Ignorant." There's more than one occasion where Paul uses this term, this phrase, as he's talking to the Christians in various different places. There were some things that were important enough, he didn't want them to be ignorant about those things. We often hear the statement, "Ignorance is bliss," and "what you don't know won't hurt you." But those aren't true, either one of them. Ignorance is not bliss, and what you don't know can hurt you. In fact, it can be deadly both to body and soul. So we need to get rid of ignorance out of our lives. Now certainly, ignorance is a state in which we are all born. As far as I know, no baby has ever been born on this planet in all of history who came out of the womb knowing anything. They don't know how to walk or talk or eat or anything. They don't know any of the things that will help them to survive in this world. Oh, I know they have certain instincts like to suck or to cry, for you know, to have, you know, whenever they're hurting or hungry or anything, they cry, right? And that gets mommy or daddy's attention so that they can be taken care of. But they don't know even sometimes what they need. They just cry. Well, the fact of the matter is, a lot of times when we become Christians, as newborn Christians, we may not be as ignorant as newborn babes because we have lived life, but in a spiritual sense, we're still very ignorant of a lot of the things that we need to know if we're going to be faithful to God. And that ignorance can be a dangerous thing if it's allowed to continue. It doesn't surprise us when we see a 3-month-old baby that can't walk or talk or read or write or feed themselves. That doesn't surprise us. But what about a 13-year-old who can't walk or talk or read or write or feed themselves or dress themselves? That's a little more disturbing, isn't it? What about a 30-year-old who can't do those things? Now, I know that sometimes there are physical handicaps, physical development problems that actually do cause that to occur. But sadly, in the spiritual realm, far too often there are 13-year-old Christians or even 30-year-old Christians who still haven't learned to walk and talk and to read and write in the spiritual sense. They're still babes, even though they ought to have grown beyond that. They are still ignorant, even though they ought to have learned. It's a sad thing, and it's often mentioned, well, so-and-so graduated from high school and still can't even write their own name. How they got through, we don't know. They just got passed on along, even though they didn't know what they were doing. It's a sad thing if someone who should have had 12 or 13 years of education is still ignorant. And yet, how often spiritually do we remain ignorant? Paul talks about some who, by the time they ought to have been teachers, needed to be taught the fundamentals of the faith all over again. They need to go back and start with Christianity 101 and get the basics. They didn't know the basics, even though they ought to have been able to be teaching others. Ignorance is dangerous. During the Franco-German War, two shells fell close to a house near the scene of the conflict. The owner found them, decided to keep them as a curiosity. After polishing them, he put them near his fireplace. One day, as he was describing to one of his visiting acquaintances about them, the friend suddenly was struck by a horrible thought. What if they're still loaded? He inquired in alarm. Being an expert in such matters, he quickly went and examined the shells. Get them away from the heat of this fire immediately. They are as deadly as the day they were made, he exclaimed. Without realizing it, his host had been in grave peril. And so it is that too many go on enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, totally ignorant of the impending doom. By failing to obey the gospel, they face the dreadful prospect of being punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. And yet they don't even realize what danger they're in. Psalm 73 and verses 21 through 23. The psalmist says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. When we realize that we're ignorant of anything concerning God, we need to make an effort to spend more time with Him and gain some knowledge. We certainly, like the psalmist, should be grieved in our heart when we realize how little we know about God. And I say that regardless of how much you think you know. We all are ignorant of some things about God that we need to continue learning and growing closer to Him. You know, it's that way with many relationships. Listening at the family reunion this weekend to the older generation talking about what it was like when they were children and things they did. And I learned a lot of things about my own family that I never knew before. Found out that they did things that I didn't know they'd done. Found out things about my own father that I didn't know he'd done. Like he tried to start a forest fire one time. But I won't tell anybody about that. But yeah, you find out these things. And I've known him my whole life, and I never knew some of those things that he did when he was a kid and when he was a teenager and things. You know, and as we get to know someone better, there are still going to be things we're ignorant of. And yet as we grow closer and learn more, we find out more and more. And so it is with God. We will never have full knowledge of Him while we're on this earth. But as we grow closer to Him, we should gain a better understanding and have more knowledge than we did before. And our heart should be grieved when we don't have that knowledge. And we should try to spend time with Him to gain it. Well, we want to look at several things quickly that we shouldn't be ignorant of. First of all, we shouldn't be ignorant in sinning against Him. In Acts 3, verses 12 through 19, Peter is discussing with the people there. They're amazed after they've healed someone. And he's talking to them and he says, it's not by our power we did this. God has done this. And He's done it through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to tell them that they were the ones responsible for putting Jesus to death. And when he gets down to verse 17, he says, and now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as also did your rulers. But those things which God has before shown to, by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He hath fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You notice that even though they did it ignorantly, it was still sin. Sometimes we try to excuse sin because, well, they didn't know. It's our responsibility to know. It's It's our responsibility to learn what is and is not acceptable to God, and then to live accordingly. These people did it ignorantly, but he said you need to repent so that your sins can be blotted out. They needed to repent of it, even though they had done it in ignorance. In fact, in the Old Testament law, there was a sacrifice that was designated for the one who had sinned ignorantly. The one who had sinned without knowing they had sinned. In the book of Job, it talks about Job offering sacrifices as the head of his family for his family members just in case they might have sinned. He was afraid that perhaps one of his children had done or said something that he didn't know about, and maybe they didn't even realize it was a sin, and so he offered sacrifices just in case. And we do that as well sometimes when we pray. We'll ask God to forgive us of our sins, realizing that there may be a sin that we didn't even know about. But we still ask Him to forgive us of those things that we have done ignorantly. But you see, to continue to live in ignorance of what God's will is for us is also a sin. It's not a sin to be ignorant, but it is one to remain in ignorance when we have the opportunity to learn better. We need not be ignorant in our worship of Him. Acts 17, verses 22 and 23 on Mars Hill, Paul sees the people there, and he says to the men of Athens, "You're all too superstitious. You're very religious." He said, "I even noticed that as I passed by, I found an altar that had the inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" He says, "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him I declare unto you." And down in verse 30, as he continues talking to them about God and what God wants of them, he says, "At the times of this ignorance, God winked. But now He commands all men everywhere to repent." How on earth would you worship a God that was unknown to you? How would you even begin to decide what that God wanted you to do? Well, that's why Paul declared to them what God did want from them. Because no doubt they were not worshiping Him the way He wanted to be worshiped, because they didn't know Him. He was an unknown God to them. In Romans 10, verses 2-4, we see that Paul says, "I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." We need to understand. God told us how He wants to be worshipped, told us how He wants to be served, told us what righteousness is, because He wants us to practice those things. He didn't write the Bible just because He liked to write. He did it so that we would know these things and not be ignorant. Oh, but there are a lot of people in the religious world today who have a zeal for God. Oh, they sometimes put us to shame with their energy and their zeal and their evangelistic fervor, and oh, they are excited about it. But they don't have the knowledge. And sometimes we have the knowledge, but we have no zeal. And those two things need to go hand in hand. Those two things need to make a perfect pair, the knowledge and the zeal together. But the problem they had was they were ignorant of God's righteousness. So they tried to make their own. And when you try to make your own, you're going to miss the mark. You're not going to make it the way God intended it. Third thing we want to notice is that we shouldn't be ignorant of our relationship to Him. There are some who certainly are. There are some people who think they have a relationship with God, and yet they don't. There are some who believe that everything's all right in their relationship with God when it's not. There are others who are constantly fearful that there's something wrong in their relationship with God when there's not. Romans 11, verses 19 through 25, Paul says, "You'll say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in." He's talking to the Gentiles here. The Gentiles had not known God. And yet the Jews had been broken off, pushed out of the way, so that the Gentiles could come in, because the Jews weren't faithful to God. And so he says, truly that is the case. They were broken off because of their unbelief, in verse 20. And then he tells the Gentile Christians, don't be all arrogant about that though. Don't be high-minded, but instead have a proper respect and fear for God. Because he says in verse 21, if God did not spare the natural branches, but broke them off so you could be grafted in, what makes you think he wouldn't break off the ones he had grafted in and let the natural branches be put back in? He could, and he would. And so he warns us at all, as Christians, not to take it for granted. Not to just assume that we'll always have a relationship with God. It's not that way. We can lose it. We can be cut off. And he says, if they do not abide in unbelief, they can be grafted back in. God's able to graft them in again. And he says that if you were cut out of the tree you came from and were grafted into this tree, why, he could cut you back out of this tree. But we need to realize, it's not a sure thing. It's not once saved, always saved, and nothing can happen. He says you can be cut off. Your branch can be taken away from God if you're not faithful to Him. So they don't need to be ignorant of that. And he talked to them about that, warning them not to be ignorant of that thing and to think that it couldn't happen to them. In fact, in verse 25, he says just that. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits. He warns them, don't be ignorant about this. And sadly, today, many in the religious world are ignorant of that very thing. They are ignorant of the fact that they can, having once gained salvation, lose it. They don't realize that that's a possibility, and that's a sad condition, certainly. We need not be ignorant of our history. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5, that we've studied this past week, Paul talks to them there and he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, did eat the same spiritual meat, did drink the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock which followed them. The rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness." He says, don't be ignorant about past history. You've heard the saying, haven't you? Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And how many, ignorant of the history of God's people in the past, do the same things that they did and fall away, and they're overthrown in the wilderness of this world. Also, God does not want us to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And he then goes into a 3-chapter dissertation on here's the way spiritual gifts, miraculous gifts work. And it would be a wonderful thing if everybody in the religious world today would read those 3 chapters and understand some things about spiritual gifts. They're so confused about miracles and the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit because they're ignorant of the things that Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And we need not be. We need to study those sections of Scripture to learn so that we're not ignorant. He didn't want them to be ignorant about that. And God doesn't want us to be ignorant about that. Also, we need not be ignorant of Satan's devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul wasn't ignorant of it, and even the Corinthians, he said, were not ignorant of it. Unfortunately, sometimes we are ignorant of Satan's devices. We don't understand how he gets us. You know, if we don't know how somebody gets us, they'll just keep on getting us, won't they? You see it in sports all the time. There's a player, a team that always wins against the other player or the other team. Every time they get the best of them. You say, well, how does that happen every time? Because they know. They know what they're doing. And the other person doesn't know how to stop it. They're ignorant of what they're doing that gets them every time. If they learn what they're doing that gets them every time, they can overcome and they can win. We need not be ignorant of Satan's devices if we want to win the victory over him and over temptation and sin. We've got to learn Satan's devices. God also does not want us to be ignorant of death and the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 and 14, Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him when he comes. Paul's trying to explain to them about how the resurrection is going to work because a lot of them didn't understand it very well. Sometimes today we still struggle with understanding it. Some of it we won't be able to fully understand because God hasn't revealed all the details to us. But what we can know, we should know. What we can learn, we should learn. We should study what God has revealed. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things of the Lord are His, but those things which He has revealed are for us and for our children and for our children's children. God has revealed certain things, and you know, we spend all our time worrying about something God hasn't revealed and not studying and learning the things God has revealed. You hear people argue all the time about, did Adam and Eve have a belly button? Well, God didn't tell us. It doesn't really matter. But people argue about that kind of foolishness. And they make a big deal out of it. They go on and on about it. People laugh. Well, how was Jesus hung on the cross? Did they put the nail here, or did they put the nail here? Did they tie his arms up, or was he just hanging from the nail? You know, that's not the important part. That's not the part that matters. What matters is that they did put the nails on him, and they did nail him to the cross, and he did die on the cross. That's what the point was, and we get, you know, wrapped up, did they tie his arms up to the cross or not? What difference does it make? Not a bit. He still died on that cross for us. And yet people will overlook the most important facts in the Bible. They strain out the gnat to swallow the camel, so to speak, but in the reverse. They'll search high and low for things that aren't in the Bible and ignore the things that are in the Bible. We need to be aware of that. One of those things that Paul didn't want us to be ignorant about was the death and the resurrection. You see, some of those people thought, if we're still alive when Jesus comes back, good, we'll get to go to heaven with Him. But if we die before He comes back, then we won't get to go. They didn't understand that He was going to raise up the dead, that they were going to get to go too. In fact, Paul tells us that those who have died are going to be brought back with Jesus. They're going to get to be with Jesus before those who are alive get to be with Jesus. When He comes back again, He's going to bring them with Him from wherever they are at this point. He's going to bring them with Him and then get those who are not yet dead. The eighth thing that we want to notice is that we should not be ignorant willingly. And we brushed over this at the beginning when we talked about the importance of learning and growing and studying. 2 Peter 3 and verse 5 says of some people, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." He says there are folks who are ignorant of some things willingly. They choose to be ignorant. You ever been there? I don't want to know. Don't want to know what's going on there. Plug our ears, close our eyes, and say, and just try to stick our heads in the sand and pretend that it's not, we can't be willingly ignorant of the things God wants us to know. Well, we can, but it will certainly cost us if we are. We should not be willingly ignorant of those things. In this case, Peter was talking about some people who were completely off base. They had completely destroyed their faith in God because they were ignorant of this aspect of how things were. He goes on to talk about the flood and Noah being saved from the flood and the world being destroyed and the world's going to be destroyed in the future with fire and all those things. And he says these people were ignorant of this. They were ignorant of what God had done in destroying the world once before. And because the ignorance showed up because they were saying, well, everything has continued the same from the beginning. That's actually one of the kinds of things that some scientists try to use in some of their figuring when they're figuring wrongly. Well, everything's always been the way it is right now. Well, everything's not always been the way it is right now. Things have changed. Things are different. They're willingly ignorant of some obvious facts. We need not be ignorant of God's relationship with time. 2 Peter 3, 8 and 9. He says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, sometimes we try to box God in our little box. We try to make Him like us. It's been said that God created man in His own image, and then man turned around and repaid the favor and created God in man's image. God is not a man. He's not bound by time like we are. He can be anywhere, anytime, everywhere, all the time if He chooses to be. He has power over space and time because He created both that we cannot even begin to comprehend. And so we need not be ignorant and think that God is bound by the laws of time that we're bound by. It is not the case. And the Bible teaches us not to be ignorant of that. And then, of course, we need not be ignorant of other Christians' sufferings. There are Christians who are suffering near us and far away. And we need not be ignorant of that. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11, he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." He thought they were going to die. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and death delivered. In whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. You also help together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." And so, Paul says, hey, we don't want you to be ignorant of the things that we've suffered. You know, sometimes we try to live in our own little shell, our own little world, and we are ignorant of other people's sufferings. We're ignorant of their problems and their struggles that they're going through. God does not want us to be ignorant of the sufferings of other Christians, whether they be Christians we know or Christians in another country that are suffering. We can't just turn a blind eye to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering. We can't have that ignorance. We need to know. But sometimes we are like the man that the story is told of. He was visiting America. He's a wealthy Chinese businessman. And it was long ago, shortly after the invention of some of the more powerful microscopes, that they have. And he was fascinated by this microscope. He looked through it and studied all sorts of little things, crystals and the petals of flowers. Pardon me. And he was amazed. He was so amazed that he decided to purchase one of these expensive pieces of equipment and take it home with him. He took it back to China, and he thoroughly enjoyed using it until one day he got his dinner out, his rice, and he said, well, I'm going to look at that. And he put the rice under there, and he looked at that rice, and he saw that there were tiny little living creatures crawling all over it. He was very disturbed by this because it was his favorite food. It was his basic food that he ate almost every day. What would he do? Well, he finally concluded there was only one way to solve this problem. He decided that he would destroy the instrument that had allowed him to see those bugs that were crawling all over his rice. How foolish that is. He didn't destroy the problem. He only destroyed what allowed him to recognize the problem. And you know, some people do the same thing with God's Word. When it reveals the sin and evil and ignorance in their life, they just shun it. They push it away. They destroy it. They get rid of it instead of taking care of the problem. It's a sad thing. When we choose the ignorance over the intelligence, when we could have the knowledge but choose to reject it. But how many times have we said, well, I don't like that. I'm not going to read that verse again. I don't like that verse. I'm not going to read that chapter again. That chapter points out some things I don't like about me. I'm not going to read that one again. Or we may not say that, but how often do we act that way? We try to put it at, we know, oh, I try to put that out of my knowledge because I don't want to accept that the Bible says that. I don't want to accept that the Bible says that the way I'm living is wrong. That the thing I'm doing here is wrong. I don't want to accept it. So I'll just sometimes pretend to be ignorant of it. Well, that's even worse than actually being ignorant, is pretending to be ignorant of something when we know it's true. Have you done those things? Have you been ignorant of some of these things? Do you need to continue to grow in these areas? Do you need to decide to start learning in some of these areas? Are you ignorant of how to become a Christian? Or have you just refused the knowledge? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins, and to confess Him as the Son of God, then it's time for you to make those decisions and do those things, and then be baptized to wash your sins away, so that you can become a child of God and be one of those branches that's grafted in. Don't remain ignorant. Don't feign ignorance. Don't pretend that you don't have to do what God has said you do have to do. If you're a Christian, but you perhaps have not continued to study and grow and learn, but have remained in ignorance. Or perhaps you did study and learn and knew some things, but you've forgotten them because you failed to continue your learning process. You may need to respond today. Whatever need you may have, if you need to respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.